Anyone over the age of 60 is invited to join Copper Country Senior Meals at our congregate meal sites that are located throughout Houghton and Keweenaw County. These meals are affordable, nutritious, delicious, and maybe most importantly, a great experience for those who attend. You'll make new friends, meet some incredible volunteers and staff who put the meal on, and ultimately find yourself a community of people you'll create almost a family-like relationship with. The only qualification for this is to be 60 or over. Learn more at coppercountryseniormeals.org or by calling 483-1155.
Welcome once again to another edition of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke, and our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Find out more about them at phfgive.org. As we continue our election coverage, we're looking at several local millage issues this morning. The first comes from Adams Township, where they are looking for money to build a new fire station in Atlantic Mine. It's a millage that, depending on the bond sale and things like that, would probably run a little bit over $1 million per year, as I'm reading the proposal accurately. And so from the fire department, I welcome Annette Butina and Darren Neamey and Scott Wagner to the program. Thank you all for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks for having us.
So, why do you need a new fire station?
Well, times have changed. The Atlantic Hall was built in, well, the original hall, which is on the left-hand side of the one that was built in 95, was built in 1947. We don't have a big meeting room. You try squeezing 15, 20 people into a meeting room, we don't have the room. When the addition was put on in 95, when they formed the department, you had smaller trucks back then. You didn't have the equipment that you have nowadays. I mean, now we have our tanker, which is almost a 4,000-gallon tanker. We have a big pumper. Trucks have gotten bigger. If you try walking in front of and behind our trucks in the hall, you got about 3 feet of space between the front door and you have about 3 feet of space between the back wall. And then in 03, we brought on the first responders. And, you know, we just don't have the room, the storage. Our storage for first responders is one of the old bathrooms that was in the fire hall, which is about 3 feet by 5 feet. It's just not enough room to store equipment. Plus, with the first responders, then we brought on the off-road rescue with our big trailer, with our side-by-side, which we put tracks on there in the wintertime for snowmobile rescue, and that should be kept indoors. And because we've been outside for so long with it, the trailer has sustained damage over the years. And
well, and all of this equipment and the bigger equipment, the bigger trucks, all of that kind of thing, this all helps to keep people in the area safer.
Well, exactly.
Yes. So this is all for a good cause, but it's expensive stuff. The cost of this equipment is just sky high, Scott.
Yes, it is. And it really makes us careful of what we can actually purchase when we actually need new apparatus. And besides that, then we have safety issues when we're trying to back the trucks in and out of the hall. The new proposed, we're looking at a drive-through so that, you know, safety for our department members or safety from people just driving by is also, you know, considered.
Well, and the gear now that you have available, Annette.
Correct.
The safety gear. Back in the 1940s, that basically didn't exist. Now you have all of these, you know, these wonderful breathing apparatus and things of that nature that you can get closer to a building, you can get into a building, save somebody's life with it.
Correct. Yeah, we go in fully clothed with our PPE, and we have our SCBAs on. And those are not very inexpensive either. I mean,
oh, they're terribly expensive. I've seen the prices for this type of gear.
And it's $8,000 for a new SCBA full unit. And our gear, every year, each year, gears change. The original gear was a plastic coat that we put on, a pair of high rubber boots. You didn't even have pants, bunker pants.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, with NFPA guidelines, I mean, you could buy new turnout gear every year. Because they change the regulations and rules
every year.
Yeah, so you know, there's money going out in this direction. Grants, in some cases, have been available to help out. I've seen a number of those come out in recent years, and I know that's been appreciated.
Yeah, it's been very nice. I mean, I know Lorium just got a huge grant for brand new SCBAs, and then they donated theirs to us. So we have their old equipment, which is really, it's not really old,
no, it's
but
only a couple years old.
It's only a couple years old, but it's much newer
step
than
up from what you had.
Correct.
Right.
and not carrying a steel tank versus carrying
our carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber tanks.
Yes. So basically what we've got is a situation where it's too small and you have much more valuable equipment that needs to be maintained for the safety of people in the local community.
Correct. Like one of the things, if we get and it happens every year where we get a structure fire in the winter, all of our hoses, we don't even have a place to lay out all of the hundreds of feet of hose to have it dry out and clean it properly before we can get it back on a vehicle. We actually take that to a local business who has heated floors so we can lay it out in their business and get all of our hoses, and then we have to go down, pick it all up, bring it back to the hall, and then put it back on the trucks.
And that's a lot of work, especially when you consider that you guys aren't exactly making a fortune doing this.
I believe the word is
volunteer.
And it's $0. We don't get a penny for running medical or fire.
So where are you going to put this fire hall?
Well, Scotty, where's it going? Do you know? It's right on M26.
It's going to be on M26. We had property that's donated to us, so there's no price for the property. It's
just
the building of the hall.
Thanks to whoever did that.
Yes, it'll be right on M26, right across, kind of in between Moyle and Keweenaw Petroleum on the west side of the highway.
Okay, so a very accessible location.
Yes,
you'll be able
accessible.
To get the trucks in and out, even if we get a snow dump in the winter.
Correct.
They get the plows down there pretty effectively.
Right.
Correct.
So it's a good location for it. What happens to the old hall?
The old hall can actually be utilized by the township.
By the township for public works.
Because they've purchased some new equipment over the years, the last few years, for doing more maintenance in the township, but they've done a wonderful job. And they really don't have a very big area to keep a lot of the equipment. They got some in Baltic. They have some in Painesdale over by the pump house, which sits outside. So they could put a couple pieces of equipment in that hall.
So we've got the ability to repurpose the existing building and save the township some money on that point, and an opportunity to upgrade the fire facility that'll be located then right on the highway there in Atlantic Mine. Talking with Annette Butina and Darren Neamey and Scott Wagner from the Adams Township Fire Department. The proposal is, well, it's a bond sale. The millage would be a little over about 1.1, 1.12 mils,
yes,
depending on the cost of the bonds and things of that nature. And it does add a little bit to the property tax. But on the other hand, a good fire effort, highly rated, can lower property taxes.
Yes.
Or not property, but property insurance.
Insurance.
Property insurance.
And lower your homeowner's insurance.
Yes.
So
Correct.
There's an opportunity for some savings on the other side if you can get a higher rating because of this new facility.
Correct. Everything you do, whether it's equipment, building, or everything, it affects your ISO rating. And the ISO rating is what goes to your insurance company. So the township has an ISO rating. And when you go with your homeowners and your fire insurance, they go off that ISO rating in the township that you live. So the higher ISO rating is, the better value you're going to get on your insurance.
So this is a millage that will be decided by all voters in Adams Township.
Adams Correct. Township.
And wherever you live in Adams Township, you'll certainly benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven knows those volunteer firefighters, the time you put in. Ron Ervest, the Lawrence Village president, I was covering their meeting. He's been a firefighter for a long time,
mm-hmm,
and was talking at the most recent meeting. It was their first meeting after the Holiday gas station tragedy in Lawrence, where so many firefighters, I know some of your firefighters were involved in fighting that, was talking about the amount of time that you have to put in as a quote-unquote volunteer just to get your initial certification.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal investment that each of you firefighters makes on behalf of the community, and thank you for it. And is it tough to do that? I know there's continuing education that goes on, and like 8 weeks of training over the first 2 years for somebody who's just joining up?
Scott Wagner's our training officer, so I'm going to let him answer that.
There's a lot of training involved. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and yes, there's, I don't remember all the hours, but there are a lot. And annually we have to maintain that and continue to do, you know, monthly trainings.
Yeah, so it's a significant investment that our firefighters are putting in.
Right.
And then they turn around and they do things like pancake breakfasts and things like that to raise money so that they can buy other stuff.
So we can buy equipment. And yeah, and on top of it all, our fire department members, we have multiples that are doing dual membership. So they're firefighters and first responders. So on top of that, you know, to become a first responder, it's 120 hours of class for that, and then every 3 years you have to have, I have to have 36 credits because I'm an EMT, but some of the first responders only have to have 16, but still, that's a lot of extra hours, and we don't, and like I said, we just do it because we like to help our community.
And it keeps adding on because the state keeps changing the guidelines.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
volunteer,
of course.
And, you know, I don't think the state a lot of times realizes the word volunteer.
And on one hand, obviously, you want to be well-trained, and we in the community want you to be well-trained. You're putting yourselves at risk for us. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that that risk is as minimal as possible.
Correct.
But are they asking too much?
At times, yes.
At times.
At times, they are. Especially in the last couple of years, Annette and I are both on the Copper Country Firemen's Association as well, on the board. Well, I was. I just got off. I was president for the last year. But we've been fighting this for about the last 3-4 years when we first started what was coming. And, you know, like you said, yes, you have to have training. There has to be requirements. But it's hard enough right now to get volunteers for fire departments, whether it be fire or first responders. I mean, we all have lives. Everybody has something going on. But so much of the requirements, when I look at them, and my argument always has been, yes, I agree, we have to have training. But what they're coming up with from the state too often is it's related to full-time fire departments, where these guys and women are working. That's their job.
Yeah, that's their
job. And they have the time every day at the station to be doing this training, whereas we don't have that.
And I suppose that there's some element of, if you're working in a big city, there are more types of fires that you would encounter.
Correct.
There are different types of hazards that you would encounter, as opposed to working in a rural fire department where there may be a couple of manufacturing plants, things of that nature, but there are no intensive chemical facilities up here or things of that nature that we have to be trained for.
Correct. And Scott is actually a retired firefighter from Fenton Fire, and he was a full-time firefighter down there, so...
So
he can probably tell you about that.
We had a lot more training, and we had a lot more incidents per annual basis. So yeah, the training requirements, as Darren mentioned, as a full time, as a paid person, yeah, you can expect more because you're getting compensated. Not that we need compensation, but it is hard when you have a full-time job and then you're doing this as a volunteer.
Yeah, and a family as well that you're perhaps trying to work with, especially if you're on the younger age side. So we've got to wrap this up again. The proposal in Adams Township is for a little bit more than a mill to build a new fire station in Atlantic Mine, and that'll be on the ballot for all Adams Township voters. Annette Butina and Darren Neamy and Scott Wagner, thank you for coming in and sharing.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Be back in a moment on Copper Country Today. Our first segment of Copper Country Today continues as we take a look at a millage request being put up by the city of Hancock. They're asking for some money to help expand public safety in the city, and I'm joined by City Manager Mary Babcock and by Police Lieutenant Dave Houghtonen. Welcome both to Copper Country Today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
First of all, Mary, outline the proposal for me. What does it involve, how much, and for how long?
So this is a 15-year proposal from 2022 to 2037, and it's a 0.8 mil property tax millage. And it will be dedicated to the police department.
Why does the police department need an additional millage?
Well, in simple terms, we need additional officers. And we are working with 7 officers. And if they work their regular shifts, it doesn't even allow us 2 officers per shift. And on average, that's really a tough way to manage our staffing. Because there's no part-time officers currently in the area. As everybody's probably heard, the police officers' career choice, the numbers have gone way down, and currently there are no part-time officers in the area, where if you were looking at it like 6 years ago, we had 6 to 8 part-time officers to help our full-time staff.
Wow. Dave, is there a safety factor that's involved when you get down to one officer per shift?
Yeah, right, exactly, Todd. That's our concern, our biggest concern, for the night shift especially, a lot of nights, because we have enough officers as it is to cover the 24/7 schedule, as long as nobody calls in sick and or nobody takes vacation time or has gone to training, stuff like that. So when we run into those instances, we're running some shifts with just one officer, and that is the problem, especially for the night shift, safety concerns.
Well, and at night, I would suspect, is when you perhaps run into many of the most dangerous situations where people get problems with alcohol, domestic problems, things of that nature?
Right, exactly. The night shift is typically not usually the busiest, but it has the opportunities, and historically, that's when the more serious stuff happens, and it's usually related to alcohol and drugs and domestic violence, stuff like that.
Mary, this I know that you've been talking with Hancock Schools and are trying to put together a situation where you have an officer assigned to the Hancock Schools campus. Does this millage have anything to do with that effort?
No, they're really unrelated. If we have the opportunity to do the SRO with the Hancock Public Schools, that will be an additional officer, but that officer will be funded by percentage that he'll be at the school. So, and that they would like somebody in their school full time. And so would be very limited use by the City of Hancock Police Department for patrolling the city.
But who would be then paying for that officer?
Ultimately, I think the school has come up with the bulk of that money. I don't know the numbers on what the city would pay, but the majority would come from the school, some funding from the school.
Okay.
I do believe that they're looking for some type of grant. They've applied for a grant to help fund this.
How many officers would this millage fund if it's passed?
It would be an additional full-time officer, but also it would include updating and replacing old equipment and stuff like that. So it would be a little bit more than just the officer wage and benefits. We do need, we have body cams that are coming that are end life and tasers, stuff like that. So
it just sounds really odd to me to have these newfangled devices like body cams and tasers and things of that nature all of a sudden now being out of date. How long is the average lifestyle for this new type of electronic equipment? Because we all know how fast electronics get out of date these days.
Right. The stuff we got, they're coming on 3-4 years old now. So the typical life of our body cams are, I think the life is about 3 years. And we're coming on that already now. So,
all right. So now we're looking at this is going to bring in enough money to cover a full-time officer. Have you had any trouble hiring full-time officers? You mentioned the lack of potential part-time officers. Have you had a scarcity of full-time officers to hire?
Well, that'll be the next challenge. We want to first get across the first bridge, and then get to that bridge. So I typically believe it'll be easier to hire a full-time. Of course, people are looking for jobs with benefits and full-time hours. So part-time, there used to be a lot of part-time, but now they're all hired as full-time, you know, as people left other agencies and stuff. So,
all right. I suppose maybe the answer to this question is obvious, Dave, because what you do is challenging, certainly. But why are you now having problems getting young people to come into your career?
Well, I think if you watch the news, I mean, like everybody can see, you know, how I think a lot of it is the attitude towards law enforcement. So people see that and they say, well, you know, you're crazy to go in that job anymore. And I hear that regularly. You know, I've been in it for 29 years, so I'm here and on my way out in the next bunch of years. But coming in at this day and age, I'm not sure that even I would consider coming into it. But, of course, it's a calling, so no matter what the perception is, you know, you got to have that drive and that go to want to do the job.
If you had to do it all over again and were starting today, would you, or would you look somewhere else?
Well, like I said, it's kind of a calling. I would still probably do it myself, but you know, you got to look at it as more than a job. If you're coming in just because it's a job, you're coming into the wrong job. It's more of a lifestyle and wanting to give back to the community and make a difference in the community and help people. So you got to have those drives to want to come into this job.
I see a lot on the news of what you're talking about, the disrespect for law enforcement officers, the increased danger that you're in because people seem to be just awfully trigger happy and angry these days. Has that translated down to our level, or is this something that we're seeing more in the big cities, and perhaps because that happens there, it gets on the news and people think it's happening everywhere?
We're kind of fortunate in our area. We for the most part, people really support the police around here. We do have there is some problem people here, but not to the extent that you're seeing on the news. There's people that go in circles that, not only we deal with in Hancock, but then they'll deal with them in Houghton or in Lake Linden or Laurier and Calumet. So, we do have our share of them here, but not to the extent you're seeing on TV.
Looking forward, if this millage passes, Mary, what kind of timetable would we be looking at for this money to start coming in so that the police force could be bolstered appropriately?
So this would actually go on the December tax bill. So it would impact the final tax bill of 2022. And so as we receive those funds, we will plan on that, and we would put an ad out immediately for an additional full-time officer.
Would you be looking for somebody new, somebody with experience? How does that work out? And what level officer will this pay for?
Well, experience is always we always take experience over a new hire. But, I mean, we'll just see who applies and do our interviews and go from there. We're just as happy to have a new hire as we are an experienced officer. So we got the gaps to fill and the sooner the better.
All right. Talking with Mary Babcock, the Hancock City Manager, and Lieutenant Dave Outenen from the Hancock City Police Department about the millage that is going to be on the ballot on November 8th. They are asking for 0.8 of a mill over 15 years for expanded law enforcement capabilities in the city of Hancock. This would provide one additional officer and then some additional money for upgrades, technology, things of that nature. So, that is going to be on the ballot coming up in November.
So, Todd, can we throw a little figure out for you really quick before we...
Absolutely, please do.
So when you're talking about how much will it cost, the taxpayers here, and it's based on property value, so if your home is worth $75,000, you're looking at 58 cents a week or $30 a year's increase for this. So jump up to 125, it would be 96 cents a week or $50 a year. So, of course, the more your property is worth, the percentage, of course, will increase a little bit. But it's not overly expensive, but it certainly will be a great help to us.
Well, and, let's face it, we're all looking at higher prices for everything these days, and none of us wants to pay any more taxes than we need to. But law enforcement is so critical to the foundation of our community, to the values of our homes, to the values of everything that we do. It seems to me to be a relatively small and modest amount to put forward and say, hey, that's, first of all, it's going to keep our city safer. And secondly, as we talked earlier, it's going to help keep our officers safer, because I would be very, very nervous to find out that you're working just one person shifts at a time when you might be called out to some very dangerous things. There's a concern there that we as the public have to deal with, isn't there?
Right, exactly. And that's our, that's our concern as well.
I do know that you sometimes can rely on other agencies in the area for help, but, they're probably pretty thinly staffed these days too, aren't they?
Right, exactly. We do, us in the city of Houghton and the Sheriff's Department and the State Police, we regularly interact and assist each other as needed, but especially in the overnight hours, a lot of times other agencies might only have one person on as well. And if they're tied up with something, we do get spread pretty thin during the nighttime hours. So, after 2 or 3 in the morning.
Well, and I think it's one thing that I've always admired about this area is that I get a press release about something that happened overnight. And at the bottom of it, there's a whole long list of law enforcement agencies that responded and helped out with it. At what point do you know that you need to respond and help the City of Houghton or Houghton County Sheriff or somebody like that?
Well, we of course, just we've got the same radio channel, so we hear what's going on, and if it sounds like it's something serious, we'll just automatically start going that direction, or they may just request us right off. So it depends on the call and who's available, of course.
All right, so we're talking about safety of our officers on the job, which is certainly paramount. We're talking about safety and livability in our city, which is certainly very, very important as well. And the question is going to be on the ballot November 8th for City of Hancock voters, 8/10 of a mil for 15 years. And that will, as I said, provide for one full-time additional law enforcement officer and for some additional upgrades and such as well. Lieutenant Dave Altman and Mary Babcock, thank you so much for your time on Copper Country Today and for the information.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.